Hey, sans Vason! It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. Today, we're speaking to an organization down under, dating back over 200 years with very specific job roles across a huge country. Let's start the show. Keila Israelsen, g'day.
G'day, mate.
So, who are you and what do you do?
Who am I? So, like you said, my name is Keila Israelsen and I manage the employer branding team at Australia Post.
Australia Post, okay. So, you're going to have to tell us how you ended up at Australia Post. Clearly, you have an American accent.
I do. So, I fell in love with an Australian boy. And like a stupid girl moved across the world to be with him. But it's a pretty happy story because we're actually expecting our first baby in August. So yeah, happy little family starting. But about 4 years ago, I moved to Australia. We were actually working together in a previous company and then again in Australia. And I realized I need to broaden my horizons just a little bit, you know, make my own connections, start my own career path and make my own buddies. So I started applying for different jobs in this country, in Melbourne, that's where we live. And, you know, recruiters would get back to me and say, you know, you don't have Australian or Asian experience. This is really what we're looking for in marketing. I was looking for marketing roles at the time. You know, you've got American and South American experience or European experience, but not quite right. Or I was underqualified or overqualified, or I just didn't hear back from the recruiter at all. And I think it was like 20 or 21 applications that I had put in. So I felt like a total loser at this point. And I asked Dave, my partner, for a little bit of help because he has an amazing network in this city and really all over the world. And he put me in contact with one of his friends who works for Australia Post. And I thought, I must be so desperate to go work at this old company, this cardigan company. Like, what am I going to lick stamps for a living? You know, I thought this is like where grandparents go to work, you know, not for me. Anyway, I really was desperate and I was really eager to start my career. So I went to the first interview and I felt like a total idiot. I couldn't have been more wrong. I had applied for a role on the social media team and it was all young, vibrant people. Felt like I was going to be working at a digital agency, a creative agency. The projects that they were working on were to take that idea of the old Australia Post, honoring its legacy and its rich history, but also seeing how we fit into the future. And that has started my 3 years at Australia Post. Initially started on the social media team, like I said. I got some seniority on that team, and then about a year and a half ago, was tapped on the shoulder to start taking on this thing called EVP. And now I lead a team of three, and it's eventually going to be four in the next few weeks. So I love it.
Great. Okay. So Australia Post is a legacy company. It's still government owned, I take it.
It's not government owned, but no. We have government relations, but also we're, you know, committed to the community. And yeah, it's one of those funny hybrid type companies where we're not government owned, but we're also not privately owned. So we have to play on both sides of the fence.
Got it. Okay. And in one sentence, how would you sum up the corporate culture at Australia Post?
Not what you think.
Okay, I'll give you two sentences then.
Yeah, two sentences. Yeah, sorry. So definitely if I was talking to somebody, you know, casually, I would say it's not what you think. But if I'm speaking to somebody professionally, I would definitely talk about the scope and the scale of Australia Post. There are no 2 days are the same. Mm-hmm. And you could have the same function and work across so many projects that you feel like every meeting just brings new air to your sales.
Great. Okay. So the Australian Post, what talent challenges is the company faced with?
Well, I think like most companies, of course, we're vying for that top talent, especially in digital tech. Yep. We're looking into we have been looking into for a really long time and have already implemented this, but looking at different target audiences, whether that's school leavers, stay-at-home moms, people that are finishing their career and looking for something a little bit more casual or to break into something new. But our biggest challenge at Australia Post is that we're almost two companies in one. We've got our blue collar sector, which is the majority of our company, you know, the guys and girls that are delivering your mail, your parcels, driving the big trucks, the vans that really make Australia Post happen. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the white collar side that are headquarters based and, they're also based nationally, but they are a different type of talent. So we kind of have to be everything to everyone, speak everyone's language, and attract all of these different types of people.
Okay. And how many employees have you got in total?
That is the hardest question to answer. I don't even think our CEO could answer it. You know, she's just done this huge strategic review. She's new to the company. The reason being is I've heard the number, somewhere in the 70,000s. But we've got contracted companies that then contract other employees. So I would guess probably somewhere around 90,000 employees and contractors. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Australia is a big place. And tell us about your employee branding strategy and how does that help you overcome these talent challenges?
Yeah. So our strategy started close to a year and a half ago where we worked with PwC as well as some other smaller third-party groups to do a bit of an audit. And the audit was to test our maturity for our recruitment services, or recruitment function rather. And they mapped our maturity against companies nationally and internationally. And what turned out is, we've got the same problems as everyone else. You want to make sure that it's a consistent experience. You've got the best tech underpinning everything, that your recruiters are offering the best service while also having a great mixture of automation. And it spat out about 20 different things that we call service concepts on the team. And that was what we prioritized to fix over the next few years. So EVP was one of them. We didn't have a great EVP or value proposition for anywhere in the business. And I think my personal example of thinking, oh my God, Australia Post is one thing, but it ended up being something completely opposite, was really indicative of how much the brand needed to tell these kinds of stories. Mm-hmm. So our strategy started with going to the business and kind of just asking them to raise their hand if this was something that they were interested in investing in. And an investment meant that we would hold focus groups with their, what we call job family. So job family would be our drivers or our posties or our digital talent. And we went to these job families, picked people with a mixture of tenure, experience, job type, and we asked them just a few basic questions around their experiences joining Post. So what attracted them in the first place? What keeps them here? If they were thinking about leaving, why would that be? And we made it a really safe place that they could give us the good, bad, the ugly. And what we found was that even with this segmented approach of reaching out to each of these different job families, and like I mentioned before, we've got these blue collar people, white collar people, and then a mixture of different types of jobs in between. We found that there were some key messages that came out over the top. And we can talk about that in a little bit. But our employer branding has been a very segmented approach. And I feel like that was, even a year and a half later, I feel like that was absolutely the right thing to do for us.
Okay. And did you, through doing all this research and this work, did you come up with an overall EVP or a people promise?
No. So we didn't come up with an overall EVP. And what I'm seeing a lot in the industry and have been seeing for years is that when people create EVPs for their companies, they'll usually go to a creative agency and say, I need this look and feel for our career site and for our LinkedIn profiles and this, that, the other. And they think about the tone of voice. That's amazing. And that probably gives a great start to a strategy. We didn't. We did a lot of the legwork to get the authentic messages from people before we went to a creative agency. We've actually just a year and a half later decided to combine all of our data and all of our research and then combine it all together to one unified experience, which will be coming out next month. So something to look forward to.
Okay, so you don't have an overall EVP. Do you have, so you call it more of an employee experience? Or?
Yeah, so I guess maybe to answer your question a little bit differently. So while we don't have one EVP for everyone, we have 9 EVPs that are for each job family. It's incredibly segmented.
Yeah.
But as I had mentioned before, I'd say about 80% of the messaging was really similar. So you could see themes of the idea of the scope and scale, that no 2 days are the same, that they feel challenged, that they feel proud. And so these kinds of like words just kept popping up regardless of the job family that they were in. And of course, there were some messages that were specific to their job area, you know, their day-to-day tasks. But yeah, we tried not to blanket the whole company with one slogan, because we already have a really strong brand and we already have a really strong slogan and things like that. But I would say the one overarching theme is honoring our rich tradition and our promise for tomorrow. And that's true regardless of what kind of employee you are.
And could you give us a couple of examples of some of these EVPs which are for specific roles? So let's say for tech or for posties, as you mentioned, what would be specific just for them?
So for using like our digital team, for example, they really spoke about the experience of coming to work every day. So, you know, we think about what humans need out of coming to work and some basic needs, and the environment really came into play a lot. So one of the messages was they feel like they actually work in a digital agency some days. Another thing that they felt was that it takes a really unique person to be part of our digital teams, because we want you to push the boundaries, and that's in your natural behavior set. But you also have to play the game of, you do work in a major corporation, and that means that there's many stakeholders, that there's many processes, there's many levels that you kind of have to play nice with in order to get things across the line. So it's that balance. So that's on the digital side. And then for our drivers, it was the idea of being proudly professional. So they come to work every day and they really honor their uniform and they feel like they stand for something. Another thing was safety is huge. I mean, safety is a huge value for the company anyway. But they feel that the company wants to send them home in the same shape that they came to work in, and that we would move mountains to make sure that that happens. So yeah, those are just some examples.
Great. Okay. And how do you communicate and activate your EVPs? You know, where would the prospective applicants, where would they see this?
So they would see this in a number of different ways. So anything from our sourcing channels. So if they came to the career site, or the new career site rather, that will be going live in a few weeks, on our social channels. But what we've really tried to do is educate our employees on how to become advocates and thought leaders in their space. So not necessarily becoming cheerleaders for Australia Post, but being really open about the things that they're doing, the projects that they're working on. So we held improving my brand appeal sessions. So it was professional branding sessions where we got employees professional photography for their headshots, taught them how to create better LinkedIn profiles, taught them about their unique EVP, reminded them and thanking them for their time during focus groups, or letting them know this is what the rest of the team is saying about what it's like to work on their team. And then lastly, we worked with them on brainstorming some things that they could actually write about, or they could be in a video for, so they can tell their unique stories. We found that along with our paid campaigns and even just like these kinds of pieces where we're influencing blogs being written, that people want to hear what their networks are saying. They want to hear from real people. They don't care that Australia Post is saying something about what it's like to work there. They want to get those really authentic stories. So that's been our number one strategy since day one, really.
Yeah. Okay. And so if I were to search social media and places, where would I be able to find this? Is there a specific hashtag or pages?
So we haven't done a hashtag. We it's one of those things that like you always wish you had. So that way, you know, I think of hashtags as a filing system. Yes. It's like the very basis of what it is, of its function. And I always wish that we did that. And that's not to say that we won't roll something out in the near future. But we have kind of tagged on to the People of Post hashtag that our social media team has ran out. But we've also had different campaigns, one of which that I'm proudest of is called the Our Women in Transport. And you can find that on YouTube, but it was featured on Facebook, Instagram, a number of PR pieces, and we had millions of views of this, these videos and interactions with the content. And what the result was about 4,000 or maybe even 5,000 job applications of women across Australia that were looking for jobs in transport becoming drivers. And we ended up hiring about 320 women into our staff, which was really astronomical if you think about what drivers actually, what you think what they look like. It, you know, we changed the game on that, and we trained women that didn't even previously have licensing, and we got them on the road within 8 weeks.
Fantastic. Great. Okay. Yeah. And that's... brings me on to another question, which is what is your best source of hire in terms of channels?
I'd say the career site is number one. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of a cat fight between Indeed and Seek for number two. Mm-hmm. And then number three is our referral program.
Okay. So Seek is like the Aussie version of Monster, similar.
Correct. Yeah, I forget that Seek's not, it's international, but it's not as big in other countries. But yeah, Seek.
Yeah. And referrals, do you actively encourage your employees to make referrals? Or do you have a referral scheme in place?
So we have been investigating this for the last, I'd say, six to eight months about the idea of reward versus recognition. And because we've got such a broad spectrum of employee types and how expensive it is to, we have to think about how expensive it would be to source or to get a referral. We've kind of just been playing around with dollar amounts and how we even thank people for their referrals. So it's something, it's kind of like a watch this space, but the mechanism is in place right now on our job site. And people still take advantage of it. Like I said, it's our number three sourcing channel. But we want to make it really smart. We want to give it white glove service. We want to make sure that there's communication to both the person that was referred and the referee, and make it just an amazing welcoming experience and an amazing thank you experience.
Yeah, because I think ultimately, if candidates who may or may not get the job, they're always going to be customers of the post, aren't they? So
that's absolutely right.
Leave a good taste there. Right. So what hard lessons can you share with us?
You asked me about like which hard lessons and tips. And I just think like from the hardest lesson that I've learned is that it really does take a village. And you sometimes have to be everything to everyone. So my team is everything from a recruiter to a marketer to a comms manager to a stakeholder, like conductor of an orchestra, just trying to get everyone across the EVP and living and breathing this messaging from the most junior of staff to the most senior of staff and getting them across this so it feels authentic and that they can start sharing the messaging. So you don't need to necessarily take it on yourself, but make sure that you've got all the right people in place to be the influencers for you. And that takes time. So that's one of the things that I've learned along the way.
Great. Okay. And could you share how you measure return on investment on employer brand? It's the $1 million question.
Yeah, it is the $1 million question. And I think if you would have asked me this a year and a half ago, I would have just probably shuddered or hung up or something, because I don't think anyone really has like this secret sauce, but it's everything from measuring your source of hire. So down to the cents, down to the ROI per channel. But we're looking at things like different NPS metrics. So what is the candidate NPS metric? And we do surveys. What is the hiring manager NPS? What is the unsuccessful candidate experience like? And what kind of NPS scores have they given us from there? And we've actually built the majority of our strategy off of those pieces of data. And that if we are to shift NPS positively in any of those areas, we would see that return on investment quantitatively and qualitatively.
So NPS, that's the main metric you use then?
Definitely NPS. And then, of course, you know, you've got your campaign metrics, so your traditional marketing metrics that we use daily as well, cooked into there.
Great. And employer brand managers will be listening to this now. And have you got any top tips for them?
Yeah, top tips. It's definitely, it takes a, you know, a community to get this going.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about the entire candidate journey. So I think employer branding managers, because we sit within a talent acquisition or recruitment function, we can sometimes think about our strategy with blinders on, because we're only from one point of the process to another point. But I think if we don't just think about the acquisition of new talent into the business and running those beautiful campaigns that we do, but also thinking about what happens when they get here. What is that first 90-day experience like? What's it like when somebody leaves the company a few years later? How do we make a database of alumni that aren't only willing to continue giving us referrals or writing what we call a wrap-up blog, you know, talking about their years or their months at Australia Post, what they learned, what they contributed to, how they felt contributed to from the company. But, you know, having them just speak really well as customers of the recruitment process. So, yeah, that's my major tip, is thinking about that entire candidate journey.
Great.
Or employee journey, rather.
Yeah, thank you. So beyond Australia Post, who inspires you and why?
Oh, there's just tons. But I think that Deloitte in Australia have done a fantastic job of just being so elegant with their employer branding look and feel. Mm-hmm. So I think that they work with an agency by the name of Havas, and we're actually working with them now too. They did an exceptional job of using that green dot that's in the Deloitte logo and incorporating that into their look and feel. So if you go to their career site, everything is about, you know, what the whole person is, the bringing your whole self to work. So they might show somebody who like loves bungee jumping but is one of their top auditors, you know, and showing that there's more to just auditing to this person. And also, I don't know if you know this, but their whole theme of everything that they do at Deloitte is that they are the top 1%. So that really rings true in the way that they hire. And a lot of their employee stories just really, again, authentically share that message that they are part of the 1%. They're striving for greatness and that they're the best globally. So I think that they do that in a great way.
So modest, aren't they? Yeah, and I'm sure I've seen Deloitte, I think in the Netherlands and other places, also play on this green dot. And I think there's even a website somewhere like with, you know, green.careers.com or something.
So, yeah, oh, really?
It's a nice integration with the logo, for sure. Any people out there that inspire you as well?
People that inspire me? Yeah, I mean, as an American, I just think Michelle Obama is just absolutely amazing. We were watching, you know, David Letterman has just now started this new Netflix series, and Obama was on it. Have you seen it?
No, I've seen a trailer.
Yeah, he's only done one episode, I think, and it was just amazing. But it's just a reminder of how amazing that family was, and the professional branding that Michelle Obama had to really create for herself while her husband was in office, and how she stood out more so than any first lady that's ever preceded her, and how she decided she has to stand for something, and she did an exceptional job. So, yeah, that's somebody that inspires me.
Yeah, I mean, they say Barack Obama was the second best speaker in the Obama family, wasn't he?
I agree with that.
Okay, so looking into the crystal ball, what do you think is up next for employer brand?
I think that if I'm thinking about Australia, we've got a little while more to go before we're up to speed with the rest of the world. I think the UK and America have really focused on employer branding for, I'd say, even like the last 10 years, if not more. And they've nailed it. They've made sure that their candidate experience is really great. I think that Australia, we're still focused on how do we get the same talent that everyone else is fighting for? It's kind of still that kind of that fight for the best tech talent, the best digital talent, the best blue collar workforce, instead of focusing on how do we make an exceptional experience. And so I think that that's still like refining that journey in Australia.
Got it.
So, yeah.
Great. Okay. And if people want to follow this journey, where can they find out more about Employer Brand at Australia Post? And also, where can they connect with yourself, Keila?
Well, I am a LinkedIn fiend, so you can definitely connect with me, private message me, ask me more questions. But to learn a little bit more about Australia Post journey, I'd say by mid-Feb or third week of Feb, definitely log on to our career site and check it out, because we're going to have a whole new brand, a whole new look and feel, testimonials, rich content like blogs, video content, showing you what the environment is like in our office and in some of our facilities. And hopefully you feel like you've transplanted yourself to Australia and within Australia Post just by visiting our site.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time, Keila.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right. I hope that was useful. Everything Keila and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you'll be able to find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. Now, how do you understand your company's reputation as an employer? Our approach is called the Employer Brand Index. Essentially, it means that we uncover everything being said about your company in the context of employment. We analyze this and we deliver an insightful and actionable report with a final score. To make this more interesting, we can also add your talent competitors, because everyone likes a little benchmarking. Our findings sometimes validate the perception that employer brand leaders have of their organization. Sometimes there are surprises, both good and bad, I should say. But it doesn't stop there. To me, having a great employer brand means that you have to offer a great candidate experience, employee experience, and even alumni experience. That's all part of the employer brand. Only when you use the insights like these and really take action to change the status quo will you be able to move the needle. Okay, so I'll get off my soapbox now. If this sounds useful to you, feel free to ping me at jorgen@linkhumans.com to learn more. Or simply go to employerbrandindex.co, employerbrandindex.co. All right, that's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in as always, and catch you next week. Hey doll!
Why should you never write with a broken pencil?
No idea.
Because it's pointless.